Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:17 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is October 7th. The Dow Jones Transportation Average hit a new all-time high in here today. But it's also worth considering that the weightings in the average have been considerably reweighted over the course of the last year because of the collapse in airlines. So FedEx is now by far the largest. Then you have a number of airlines, and UPS comes in around fifth, whereas you've got to start going down quite a bit before you start looking at Southwest Airlines, Alaska Airlines, United, and they only represent comparatively small weightings these days. Well, there are two ways of thinking about this. The first is that perhaps FedEx has done spectacularly well because of its leverage to the online retail sector. It had been trending downwards in a pretty profound manner from 2018 because it does not cater to Amazon. And then, of course, UPS has been under pressure because Amazon has been had been under pressure because Amazon has been diversifying, but it has also rallied really very spectacularly. But the big performance in online retail has been among the independents, like Etsy, for example, where it also moved to a new high in here today, and it isn't quite as overextended as some of the other strong performers. Shopify has also been a very strong performer, and it has rebounded really quite admirably over the course of the last few weeks. And Amazon, which had done really spectacularly well as well following the pullback in March, is consolidating and rebounding from the lows put in last week. So there's pretty positive news right across the boards. Then when we look at the airline sector itself, which has been a drag on the transportation index this year, well, it does have a sequence of higher reaction lows. It's right in the region of the trend mean right now. So there are big questions being asked about, is this a recovery, or are we going to have a type 3 bottom with a very lengthy range? The profitability of the sector is open to question because there will be calls for them to pay back the massive assistance that has been made available to them, but probably not under the PPP program because those loans to various companies are going to be forgiven. And then they're cutting headcount, so that is a clear rationalization. In order to really demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, well, it's going to have to sustain the move above 200, which would then coincide with the region of the trend mean, and it would break break up and out of this six-month range. But when transportations do well, then people will necessarily start to think about the Dow Transportation Average as a Dow theory signal. And the Dow Jones was up 550 points in here today. It's rebounding from the region of the trend mean, so that's really quite positive. And I think the other point is that the trend mean now pretty much coincides with the peaks from back in 2018. So this is quite positive action. And all of this is occurring against a background of political polarization and the politicization of the response to the coronavirus, and also the politicization of the talk about further assistance measures in the form of fiscal stimulus. Well, there will need to be fiscal stimulus regardless of who wins the election. The real question is only about when. And it's going to represent a significant deficit for the US government into next year. That's, I think, one of the things that may be beginning to be priced into the bond market. 10-year Treasury yields were higher again in here today. So they were higher in a reasonably dynamic manner 3 days ago, came back down yesterday with the shock of the end of negotiations on an additional stimulus by the US government. But then they've risen again in here today. And I've been paying particular attention to the 30-year. Obviously, the longer dated the bonds are, the more interest rate sensitive they are. And when people are fearful about deflation, well, then they'll try and, well, they will go out and buy the higher yielding, longer dated bonds because there's the expectation that interest rates aren't going upwards. And interest rates are unlikely to rise anytime soon. The Federal Reserve has pretty much said that. But with stock markets starting to recover, then the big question for everybody is, how long is it going to take for rationality to start to come back into the discussion? The Nasdaq Biotech Index has continued to rebound, and it has clearly found support in the region of the trend mean. This whole range over the last 3 months looks like a first step above the base. It's quite similar to the kind of range that we had above the base all the way back in 2011. Well, subsequent to that, the market went up a lot in the subsequent few years, and we've been through a very lengthy process of rationalization. Jennifer Doudna and I can't remember the name of the other person were awarded the Nobel Prize for Chemistry today because they developed CRISPR gene editing methodologies. Well, when we then think about some of those companies that lay claim to the patent, Editas has found support in the region of the trend mean. CRISPR Therapeutics is Jennifer Doudna's company, and it's been a better performer and has rallied impressively on the back of that Nobel Prize, which lends some credibility to her claim to, in fact, own the patents. Of course, who owns the patents and the acrimonious dispute that's been going on about that for most of the last few years does also help to emphasize the fact that it's an incredibly valuable patent because it's used everywhere today. And I think that's one of the most important points, that we've had significant and really far-reaching innovation coming through both in terms of gene editing with CRISPR and then genetic sequencing with the kinds of machines that Illumina is providing. And that share has also rebounded from its recent lows and confirming support to the lower side of the evolving 2.5 year range. But it has, of course, been subject to some really quite acute bouts of volatility as well. The likelihood is that we're going to have an increasingly large suite of solutions for the coronavirus, whether that is simply social distancing, whether it is trying to make the best of one's personal situation by adjusting one's diet and getting plenty of outdoor activity to boost vitamin D levels, whether it is taking antibody treatments or eventually a vaccine. Or then the kinds of treatments that can be applied to help one get better, like the remdesivir from Gilead, or the various types of steroids that have been around for years. These are all positive developments. Gilead has come all the way back down to the lower side of its range. So we can also look at this and say that obviously investors are giving the benefit of the doubt to the antibody and vaccine providers rather than the treatment solutions. So that also helps to highlight that we really are coming towards the end of this. That if investors are not willing to invest in the treatments and are rather looking at preventative measures, well, that does suggest that we are coming to a point where the realm of what's likely to provide profitability in terms of solutions is narrowing. That also tells us that the effectiveness of the success stories is probably looking increasingly convincing. And I do think that that's particularly important because there is a widespread belief that we're not going to have a V-shaped recovery, and that it's going to take an awfully long time to recover. But the reality is that the coronavirus has been an accelerant. It has accelerated the trends that have been in action or in evidence now for years. And the retail apocalypse is obviously one of those, and the government deficits is another. Well, government deficits are going to be with us for a while longer for the simple reason that we do have millions of people that are unemployed, and it is forcing a rather swift accommodation to the pace of technological innovation, the digitization of the economy, and the clear need to, I suppose, clear out some of the legacy businesses. And all of that has happened in a very swift manner. Now, obviously, then there will be a transition period, and there will be new jobs will eventually appear. But in that transition period, there will be a need for additional stimulative measures, and it's inevitable that those will be agreed, because there is no political establishment is going to survive without lending the kind of assistance to their citizens that are required. Now, the other point, of course, is that the social distancing might be viewed as necessary by most people, but nobody's happy about it. And when we look at the kind of activity that's going on in China, where they seem to have got control of it, well, people are engaging in social activities like tourist activities, or visiting the movie theater, or engaging in shopping in malls. These are all, I think, important characteristics, and they do help to clearly highlight that we're back in a recovery scenario in China. But then we also can think about the Baltic Dry Index, and it is back above 2000 and was up in a dynamic manner last week, and it is following through on the upside this week. Now, it's been ranging below 2000 for a prolonged period, almost a decade. And every time it has been able to push above that level, it has not been sustained. So if it can sustain the move above 2000, well, then we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Shipping companies are passing on the tariff for compliance with IMO 2020 to their customers. There is an additional line item on bills for transportation that clearly denotes what it's for. So that's positive for bottom lines. It's really quite supportive of the view that we are seeing volumes increasing. I'm going to be going down to the port in the next couple of weeks to pick up Mrs. Tracy's container, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the activity is like, because when I went down there in, I think it was September of last year, the place was a ghost town in response to the slowdown in activity as a result of the trade war. Well, the fact that we're seeing shipping rates starting to improve, it would suggest that there is more traffic, and that we may potentially be in a supply and elasticity meets rising demand environment. Maersk has been among the better performers in the sector, and it was in positive territory as well in here today, and is in the process potentially now of breaking this volatile sequence of lower rally highs that's been in evidence since 2015. Now, when we think about the potential for additional assistance, well, that is likely to weigh on the dollar. Now, when we think about the euro, it has paused around the 120 area for most of the last few months, and that has at least partially unwound the overbought condition relative to the trend mean. There may still be some room for volatility, but the USA is likely to be much more aggressive on the fiscal front than Europe, and that is likely to contribute to dollar weakness over the medium term, even if there is some risk in the short term. Gold prices were in positive territory in here today, so no downside follow through, at least not yet, on the downward dynamic we had yesterday. But we still have something of an overextension relative to the trend mean. We're not quite out of the woods in here just yet, and there is still the sequence of lower rally highs. But On a medium-term basis, this is really not anything other than a consolidation within a medium-term bull market, and having broken out to new high ground, it's quite natural that we would have a consolidation in the region of the previous peak. The reality is that we are now in a period of modern monetary theory. When you have got the most significant central bank in the world telling the government to engage in fiscal stimulus and that they are very unlikely to have negative consequences as a result of going overboard, then governments have got green lights from their central banks to go out and spend as much as is required. And those central banks are going to buy the bonds that are issued as a result of that. Well, that monetization of debt is extremely similar to what we had in the early 1970s. It's also worth considering that even though this is in response to the shutdown from the coronavirus, we also have a great deal of social unrest and polarization. And that's also similar to the kind of conditions we had in the late 1960s. So then they had their monetization of debt, and then inflationary pressures started to step higher in a wavy fashion all the way through the 1970s. So we're really just at the very beginning of a new inflationary cycle, and the conditions continue to be felt. Regardless of who wins the US presidential election, they're likely to spend a great deal. Now, when we look at what's going on in the UK with regard to Brexit, it does represent a key uncertainty. Now, the pound was in positive territory in here today, and that was despite speculation that the UK is willing to leave negotiations with the EU. In the event that there is no compromise by next week. So that is a response to Europe's determination yesterday that they weren't willing to walk away from the talks. There is brinksmanship on brinksmanship, and nobody wants to be the one to make concessions first. I remain of the view that it is quite likely that negotiations are going to come down to the wire in December, and that we're likely to have a volatile environment between now and then. The reality is that the UK will probably just get along fine without the EU, but it may require a weak currency in order to bolster competitiveness. But it is likely to have a knock-on effect for the financial sector. But perhaps not so much for where the UK is particularly strong, which is in FX and in interest rate derivatives. That may still remain within the UK, whereas some of the fund administration work may go to the EU. When we then think about what's going on in China, the Golden Week holiday is going to end tomorrow, and the Renminbi has been strengthening in the offshore market all the way through the last week. So there is the clear scope here that we're going to see that China becomes something of a haven because of the higher yields that are on offer. But then, of course, there remains the outstanding question about governance, and there is no indication that governance is improving. So one would have to bet that it's in the interests of the Chinese government to have faith in their financial markets improve. That might be the case in the short term, not least as they try to repair the outlook for Hong Kong in response to the imposition of the security laws earlier this year. The H-share index has rebounded from the lows put in back in, I think it was May and June. At least it is finding support in the region of a previous low. But there's been a clear downward bias to trading for more than 2 years. It's going to have to do more than simply rebound in the short term, but sustain a move above 11,000 in order to clearly confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. The Japanese market has been consolidating, below the 24,000 level now for around the same amount of time since the beginning of 2018. It's really within a very small margin of that level right now, and I think there's clear scope for additional upside. The big outstanding question with regard to Japan is on the trajectory of the yen, and it has been weakening over the course of the last couple of weeks. But in order to demonstrate that we're back in a more medium-term weak yen environment, it would probably have to be sustaining a move below 110, or for the dollar to rally through the 110 area. When we look at the yen versus the euro, considering the euro has been firmer, then it has clearly, or the euro has clearly broken the downtrend. So that's important, considering that both the Eurozone and Japan are major exporters of industrial machinery and parts. Australia is also on the cusp of cutting interest rates, or at least the market is beginning to price that in. But so far, the dollar continues to hold the region of the 70-cent area, and it was in positive territory in here today. Australia is engaging in quantitative easing. There is one big difference between Australia and other countries in that it has a buffer in order to allow it to engage in more deficit spending, and they have been comparatively less affected by the coronavirus than other countries, and demand for commodities is improving from places like China. India is, I think, another interesting market because it could potentially be one of the clear beneficiaries from the coronavirus, in that it has a comparatively young population, so it's likely to be less affected, and the data does appear to be bearing that out. Then it's also likely to benefit from geopolitical tensions with China, and because of that massive young population, it has the scope to become a manufacturing powerhouse. But importantly, the Nifty index is bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.